Come now to our scripture message, which is found on Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. As you're welcome to look at that in your pew Bible or Bible at home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love that you share with us and love you give us through your word. We ask you, Lord, this day that our hearts and minds are open to receive it in the way you desire us to. May we be challenged and encouraged, or however else you desire us to react. May it be written upon our hearts and in our minds and through our actions that we love you and cherish you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We pray also for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too might be used for your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. Hear now God's word. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to many. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's an old adage. It's polite. Polite dinner conversation does not consist of two things. And those two things are? Three things then, yes. I thought there was three. I couldn't think of the third one. Money, politics, and religion. We're going to talk about politics and religion today. But we're not eating, so that's okay. If we were eating, we couldn't do it. Politics is something that's kind of in our face at this moment. November 5th is quickly coming upon us, where many people will be voting for whom they want to be for president. Please pray for those who are working in the voting booths. It's going to be an extremely hectic day for them and busy. In Manor, there are four people in Manor who work on the voting booths there. So Manor Church, I mean. So please keep them all in your prayers. The definition of politics, according to Oxford Languages Dictionary, is the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. Definition of politics. Now, the very definition of politics, according to the Oxford Languages, isn't very peaceful sounding. Yeah, in it, there's this understanding of vying for power. Now, the definition that I like for politics when it comes to governing, now politics has to do with governing, is the vying for the attainment and the distribution of power. However, those people whom we vote into office or those people who hold government positions, One, they have to vie for that power that we give them through our votes. And then they gain that power in some ways, whether it be from us or other sources. And then the distribution of that power and how well they do that according to our own convictions. So who we vote for is usually who we think will spend that power the most wisely. Politics is wrapped up in this understanding of power. Now, Jesus was not, is above politics, above power, but not really. Because the weird thing about Jesus is one, we know that through the book of Revelation tells us that Christ will come in Christ's power and rule as a kingdom here on earth. And when you think of a kingdom, politics is at the heart of that. The vying for, the possession of, and the distribution of power. Christ will do all that. Now, what is the most efficient form of governing? You might have heard me say this before. Not the best, but the most efficient. Most efficient form of government. Dictatorship. Dictatorship is the most efficient form of government because one person says it, everybody else does it. At its most efficient. Yet, and it also can be a very good thing, especially when we talk about Christ's kingdom, which is a dictatorship. But the dictator that we have, our king, is a benevolent king. One who loves, one who cares, one who knows what's best, and one who uses that power to make sure the best is done. The thing, though, with power is that a lot of people want it. In fact, we all have it to some degree. We have power over our kids, we have power over our pets, we have power over most of our choices. Having a nation that's built upon freedom is about giving to power to other, and then those others then give their power to the few with the governments and things like that. Politics is wrapped up in that power. And even as we see within Jesus' time, he couldn't escape that desire for power with his disciples. What Jesus meant for them was that he was going to be the Messiah. The Messiah was a political power, a power that would come and save Israel from the Roman tyranny, would make Israel an independent country, and would rule Israel for forever. His disciples wanted some of that power for themselves. And we see this with James and John's request to Jesus. Jesus, promise us something. Jesus says, if I can, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. That sitting at the right and left were seats of power. That though Christ ruled, they too would help to rule with Christ. Not as equals, but still as those in great power. But Jesus has a way of flipping power upside down and on its head. There is a certain political construct, political model that's going to happen within Christ's kingdom. But it's going to look different than what we have here today, than what we're used to. Because the power that Christ received, Christ also gave. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thing is power does feel awfully good Power feels a lot like freedom. We can do whatever we want if just we had enough power. Politicians are in a very difficult position. Because they experience this kind of power, there's a temptation to abuse it, to get more of it, not for others, but for themselves. Power has a dangerous way of corrupting. We know that old adage, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Christ says the power that you get should also be the power that you give. That we all have the ability and the freedom to do as is we desire. It's power. But we should use that power for God's glory, for the service of others. Jesus, who had the most power of all, and we have this great little scripture story in the Gospel of John, where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what he had to do. He prayed to God the Father, and he said, "Lord, take this cup from me." So stressed that he's sweating great drops of blood, and he says, I don't want to do this. But then he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And as he's praying there in the garden, a group of armed people came up to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who is it that you seek?" They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." We know the story that when he said, "I am he," all the guards fell back, took a step back, and fell down. In that moment, we saw the kind of power that Christ had. The power to make himself free from this situation. But he didn't. He used that power instead to serve. To serve in the greatest way that he could by giving his life that we might live. Not using the power to protect himself, but using the power for the benefit of others. Jesus takes this political construct that we're used to when we think of politics and flips it upside down to completely be used for others so that others might live. And then in their living and in their loving, they then gain the power to serve others, to help others, to love others. So on and so forth, the ripple effect that we talked about last week, where the rock was dropped in the water and rippling outward. So strongly does that affect so many things, that the kind of power that Christ had and Christ used in the way that Jesus used it, the ripple effects are still going. We talked about power and strength being the measure of which we can change and resist change. Through the love that Christ has given to us and the love that he's given to his disciples, look how much has changed. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Through that power, Christ changed the world. And gave us the ability to help change ourselves and those who are around us through the Holy Spirit. These children, Christ sent us to serve them, to use the power that we have to love them, to love one another. And they too have the power to love those who are around them. And this is what Christ has done for us. And I pray that we, not my phrase at all, but we pass it on, giving to others that same love, that they too may use it for Christ's glory. Share with you this final prayer and benediction from Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.